Hey guys, good morning. How is it going? I'm going to put my sunglasses on because I can't see a thing here. Today is Tuesday and I trust you're having a great day. I was up at the crack of dawn today and today's my last day in Haute-Loire. But I'm actually out at the market in a nearby town called Tons today. I love walking around markets here. I'm probably not going to buy that much, but sometimes it's great just walking around, trying a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And sitting in the sun, having a good strong cup of espresso. So I got lots of work to do today. Closing up my house, finishing off my office, those kind of things. I've got to take an exam in French tomorrow. So pray for me with that. Hey, I'm going to be back in New England this coming Sunday. Sunday morning, I'll be in Sturbridge Worship Center. 10 a.m. We're going to have so many great things there. We're doing a baby dedication. We're doing a wedding in the middle of the service. We're doing three baptisms. And I'm going to be preaching on suffering. So actually interesting thinking about suffering because it seems to me either people completely ignore the subject of suffering in the body of Christ or we get weird and religious about it. And I'm going to try to bring a kingdom perspective on suffering. Because I think we're all going to suffer at times in life. And it's really important if we suffer, it's important we suffer for the right things and not the wrong things. Yeah. So, Sunday afternoon, we're going to be doing an outreach and outdoor service in Norwalk, Connecticut at 4 p.m. on the Common. So anybody in Southern Connecticut, you'd be welcome to join us there. Boom. Well, hey, I want to finish today with my little series on the desires of God and just give you a couple more keys that can really help you. I've been saying every day that God does not want us to live by willpower. God doesn't want us to live by effort. You know, I always think of it this way. Willpower is like the starter motor in a car. You know, the starter motor is very effective for getting the engine running, but the starter motor won't get you very far. You know, at least here in Europe with a stick shift car, you could get in, put your car into first gear, maybe second gear, turn the starter motor, and that electrical system will actually propel the car forward for about 50, 100 yards maybe before the whole thing dies. It's not meant to move you forward. It's meant to get the engine going, and then the engine will move you forward. And when you start the car correctly, then the engine can propel you forward for hundreds and hundreds of miles, thousands of miles, whatever. And I think God wants us to live that way. God wants our will to dominate our soul. He wants our will to align with our spirit, where we choose the right things. We set our heart in the right motion. Our will is really great at saying, I'll switch this off, I'll switch this on, I'll look at this, I won't look at this. But you'll run out of willpower really, really quickly. And actually, God loves our emotions. God gave us our emotions, our desires, if you will. Andrew Womack has a great teaching where he talks about sin is emotional. And what it actually means that, I think, taking that from James 1, it says when, you know, temptation hits desire, desire gives birth to sin, sin gives birth to death. And the point is, like, for any temptation, for sin to really take hold of us in our life, we get tempted, but then our emotions have to get behind that and they propel us forward. And sometimes we end up thinking, I just can't get out of this. I can't not do this. Yes, you can. You just feel as if you can't in the moment. And I think God actually wants us to live in the same way, where we choose the right thing with Him and then our emotions propel us forward into the things of God. Good. So I was speaking yesterday about focus, how when whatever we look at, when our eye is single, our whole body is full of light. And today I just really want to finish with that series as well. Here's a couple of keys that really, really help you live by the desires of God. Number one, sometimes you need to just do something. You need to activate it. You know, as a pastor, I'll often say to somebody, don't come into church and try to want to feel God. Come into church and give God a sacrifice of praise, a sacrifice of worship. Come and give God something. Begin to worship, and then that worshiper on the inside of you will activate, will come to life, will begin to engage. And, you know, whenever we'll actually begin to do something, action will also mentor our desires and mentor our emotions. Whatever you look at, whatever you think at, your focus will follow. But also whatever you begin to do, you'll begin to desire as well. It's really important at times that we learn the tricks. We learn to hack, as it were, our soul. And, you know, it's funny, I'm never tempted to eat salad. Yeah, never. Wow, I really want to eat some salad. But as soon as I eat it, I actually pretty much enjoy eating it, and then I'm really glad I've eaten it. And the more I do that, the more a McDonald's or someone else cooks, like, yuck, why would I want that? So you can have things in your day that you do that begin to activate that desire, begin to set them on the right road, begin to move them in the right direction. Yeah. Here's another just great key as well. Just be thankful. Thankfulness and worship. Whenever we're thankful for God, you know, at the heart of our old man, in a sense, is dead. It's crucified on the cross of Calvary. And yet our problem is we have this old man running in our unrenewed mind. We have this old man running in the scripts, if you will, that run within our soul. And whenever we're unthankful, the basic premise of the old man is we're selfish. Yeah? And that our desires center around ourselves. And whenever we move into worship, whenever we move into thanksgiving, whenever something becomes about God, not about us, it sets us free from that, and we begin to enter into the desires of God. So if you're trying to break free from bad desires, stop trying, yeah? God actually wants to give us greater desires for Him, which I'll come to in a moment. But my point in saying that is, take your focus off yourself and put your focus on God. And whenever you do that, you will engage with the desires and the heart of God. Hey, last key I want to give you is this as well. Sometimes looking at, you know, I spoke about James 1, where desire, enticement, sin, death. Sometimes if you look at the end result of something, by definition, sin tends to focus in this way. Sin comes and offers us an apple, okay, a fruit, like in the garden with Adam and Eve. But it doesn't talk about death, being thrown out of the garden, being naked, being cut off from God, the curse, all of those things. It only talks about the moment. People get tempted thinking, oh, I'll eat this, I'll have this illicit relationship, I'll steal this thing, I'll do whatever in a temptation situation. But they never actually sit down and think of the end result of this. And if we would do that, it will actually shape and form our desires. So when we look at the bad things that we want to avoid in life and actually think, let me just pull on this thread until the whole sweater unravels. What will really happen if I actually do this? When you begin to do that, you begin to see it through the end result. I would conjecture, I think God functions this way, that when God looks at anything, He sees the end from the beginning. So God looks at, you know, eating something bad and thinks like, yuck, you will be unhealthy. He looks at some adulterous relationship and think this is going to destroy your life, your family, your reputation, your soul, in effect, your marriage, your children, all those kind of things. He looks at those things. God, you know, we might be tempted, hey, I've got some money, let's just spend it all now rather than saving and investing and building a future with that. We're not looking at the end result. Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 2 says, Jesus, who for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and is now sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. The Bible says He'll see the travail of His soul and be satisfied. So my point in saying that is Jesus, can you imagine Jesus is there on the cross, but what He's really doing is looking at the joy that was set before Him. He's not looking at the temporary pain there. His desire is for the long term, the eternal, not the temporal. And the more we'll tend to look at things and say, God, let me look at this through the eyes of eternity, not the eyes of the here and now, the more we will recalibrate our desires and engage with the desires of God. Boom. Hey, I hope that's helpful to you guys. Well, I'm going to go and buy some fruit and some French cheese. Hey, hit the subscribe button, if you will, if you're on YouTube. Why not share this video? Check out our links below. And hope to see some of you this weekend in New England, in Mass and Connecticut. Thanks for watching, guys. Bye for now.